there are things that are coming against God's people right now that are unprecedented. And there's an assault on a larger scale that has not been seen in the world before. And when I talk to you today, I'm going to be talking to you, yes, prophetically, but also through the word. So you're just going to have to just go with it. There are people who are not here today because they're in the middle of probably one of the biggest fights of their life. COVID is running rampant, not only through our church, but through our community. But as I said before, it's better to get it, get over it, and move on than try to hide from it. And if you've been spared from it, praise God. God's given you the grace. Awesome. Other people have not. But there's freedom on the other side of it. Is freedom. And if you don't think that this has been belched out of hell, we're missing the mark. Because God is setting the stage for a move of his spirit that we have not seen before. And you could agree or not agree, it doesn't really matter. But what I'm saying to you is that there has to be an understanding of the gravity of the level of warfare that you are in right now. This is not church as usual. This is not flannel graph church. This is not the church where we go hear a nice Bible story about Jonah and the whale. That you are in the throngs of a fight right now. And if you don't understand your enemy, it's going to be hard to defeat him. Your enemy will work at you through your childhood. Ask any mental health counselor. He will work at you through your childhood because unresolved issues have a way of lingering throughout your life. And they affect the way you see yourself and how you respond to adversity or being afflicted by something. If you don't understand that you've been targeted since you were a kid, you'll have a hard time recognizing the enemy when he comes in. Now, the enemy's tricks are not new. They are old. They're old. Why do you think he keeps coming at the same thing? Because he has nothing else. The one thing that he does not want to see you be is free, because he knows once you get free in one area of your life, it starts to limit his options of where he can come at you. And so if you'll begin to step into Jesus Christ and step into who you are and allow those chains to break, those things that used to hold you won't hold you anymore because your attention has changed. Because when the Son sets you're free indeed. It's one of the reasons why emotional health is a priority, not just to me, it's a priority to God. Because if you can't see yourself whole and healed, you will walk around in defeat, looking at your life the same way you've always looked at your life. It probably goes something like this. You'll never make it. You're a loser. You're never going to get over it, because that's just what your dad did. And because your dad did it, now you got to do it. And that's a lie. Because if the Son sets you free and he comes in and now your relationship with him is separate and individual, generational curses have to be broken. I was talking to someone yesterday and we were in conversation and they said, well, because they got it, you know, their kids are going to get it. Said, that's not going to happen. Just because you walked in poverty doesn't mean your kids got to walk in poverty. Just because you walked in sickness doesn't mean your kids have to die of cancer. I don't know where that lie came in. That's generational, and that's got to be broken, because the Spirit of God is able to break that and start something new in you. And that's what he did. That's why salvation, not only it's for the whole world, but it's corporate, it's individualized. It is up to the interpretation of how you see your life and how it's going to be. You got to work it out with fear and trembling. Just because he did it one way or it happened to someone else in your family doesn't mean it had to happen to you. That's a lie. Because all that does is perpetuate dysfunction, and you keep going around the same mountain and says, well, why try? Because if he just died, so I'm going to get the same thing that my dad got, it is a cheap death. Because Because if you remember, the cross was the way to new life. So if there's new life in Christ, that means the old life has to go. Everything in the old life has to go. And all that stuff the enemy used to pepper you with has to stop. Newness in Christ. Not old, but new. There's nothing old about Christ in respect to, yes, he is the Ancient of Days, but there's nothing old about Christ where we have to say, well, I've seen everything I need to see about Jesus. You're just getting started. But the enemy wants to get you stuck in old, because if you can get stuck in old, you won't see the promise of new. And the promise of new is staring you right in the face. Right in the face. It's one of the reasons why we put the cross up in here, so you can see that he's not on there anymore. If all of God's promises are yes and amen, and all of God's promises are true, you've got to realize that those promises are for you. And if they're not working, why? It's not that they don't work. It's not that Jesus doesn't work. It's that you don't see the value of what he's done on the cross and the power that comes from his word. Jesus works. He works. You may not like the way he works, but he works because he knows how to fix. You want a Band-Aid, he fixes. You want symptoms resolved, he says, let's go root. Let's go root. Let's make an incision down there. Because if I make an incision down there, I can start to heal down there. So you can heal from the ground up with new soil. The problem is that there are so many people dying in old soil, even though they're brand new in him. They're still living in old soil. And he's trying to dig that stuff up, but he's got to go in and dig the old stuff up first, Maria, before he puts the new stuff down in. But people don't like to be worked on. Ask any kid who goes to the dentist and whose mouth is open the size of their head for longer than 2 minutes. They say, you know, are you done yet? No one likes to be worked on because it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. Because you're put in positions that stretch you and that you're not used to. You know, you're talking about some of these prophets, and you look in the Old Testament, some of them laid on their side for a year. David danced before the Lord naked, or as some would say, with a linen ephod down the street. He didn't care about what anybody thought. God was doing unusual things even back then to show people that my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. So if I ask you to dance like a clown, I want you to dance like a clown. Because I know that if you'll be obedient in that, he said, I'll bless you and I'll break forth freedom in your life, but you got to do it my way. The problem is that everyone wants it their way. And you want freedom. I want it my way. You can't have it your way and have freedom at the same time. It doesn't work. Because your way brings bondage. It doesn't matter the way you swing it, how you try to argue with me. I want you to think the times in your life where you did it your way, you walked around beat up, in bondage, emotionally stuffed, because you thought you needed something that you didn't. And by God's grace, he came in and broke you free from it so that you can breathe again. You know, breathe. You know, that's what God wants some of you to do, is just breathe. So that's why he's getting into them, some of those spots. You're having a hard time breathing. I just want you to breathe. If you allow me just to alleviate that, you'll breathe again. But we like what's not good for us. And we end up suffocating. And it becomes normal. Like wearing a mask 24/7. It becomes normal, and that's just the way it is now. No. It's not. Because conformity is easy. Transformation is hell. I want to change, but don't expect me to be vulnerable before the Lord. Don't expect me to open up. You will not change. Don't expect me. If he talks about don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you could prove what God's will is, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. It involves transformation as opposed to you conforming. He said, don't conform. Why? It doesn't work. Well, yes, it does not work. Look at the world now. It does not work. Conformity brings confusion. It robs identity. It kills creativity. You can't conform and expect to be what God has called you to be. It doesn't work that way because God has made it in such that the way he does it is opposite to the way the world does it. And so he will break you out of conformity if you expect to follow him any length. Conformity cannot be in your bag. It cannot be. Because if it's in your bag, he can't use you fully. Because it'll always be Jesus and something else. But it's not Jesus and something else. Or is it? I'll love the Lord, but don't take away my friend group. Don't take away my gossip girls. Don't take them away because I need to be with, because listen, they're my soul. I got to hear from them. Don't take away my right to choose, Lord. Don't take it away. Lord, don't. Don't you dare, don't you dare allow me to walk through persecution. Because if I do, I'm out. So you're dictating terms to God because you don't like the way it feels. You don't like what you see. And you don't like what other people are preaching or teaching you about Christianity. So I got to dictate to God what I'm supposed to be doing. And God says, you don't dictate to me. I dictate to you. If you remember that, right? For you created my inmost being. You did. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Marvelous are your works. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you change the dynamic of your makeup, you are slapping God in the face and telling him that what he created is not good enough. And then you tell him how it should be. You're being in a conversation with someone, and you're talking to that person, and they're looking at you with a look of, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard someone say, but they're just... And they know it. And you're looking at him, and you know, it's the same way with God sometimes, where we look back at God and say, I'm going to change the way I feel and look because I don't like this. And I'm going to tell you how to run my life. And I'm going to tell you what I think is best for me because I think what's best for me is best for me. And I think God looks down. That's one of the dumbest things I've heard. If I made you and I created you and your very voice is a gift from me and your ability to hear is a gift from me and your ability even to walk and have a sense of right and wrong is from me, how can you debate whether or not what I created is good enough or not? The problem is we have fallen in love with self. And you have fallen in love with your ability to reason and to figure stuff out. And God said, I've never called you to reason and to figure stuff out. I've called you to trust me. And if you trust me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all that stuff, I'll lead you. The old ways of church aren't working anymore. And I don't know if they ever did. Honestly. I remember growing up in church and it was good for them, but God always had his hand on me as I look back. His grace always is like, come over here. You saw it, but that's not really what I have. Because we have become comfortable with the idea of socialization and not discipleship. This idea of gathering together, it's great. It's great in social circles, and we love to do it. And nothing wrong with doing it. But what happens is that it becomes community over Christ. And we miss the point of it. Well, if that's the case, we're just a club. Well, you come in, you pay a membership fee. You get to use the facility, the bathrooms, and some of the sound equipment. Maybe do some squats off the stage, whatever you want to do. But then all the stuff is that you have that, and then what happens is that it just becomes, well, that's just great. It just becomes a club. There's no change. And so what we do is we go into church, and we have this idea of what church should be like, and it doesn't meet our standards, and so we try to find another church, and people are, they're church hopping. You're going to church hop the rest of your life if you don't realize that church is a byproduct of your relationship with the Lord. And you have to get hooked in somewhere where you feel like Jesus Christ is the foundation and not raise it up into a position of it being an idol. And then when it doesn't meet your needs, decide like, well, it's like a partner. You're not doing it for me. I'm going to find someone else until they feed you what you want to be fed. And in reality, what you're being fed isn't even good for you. So you have a church that is anemic and a church that is frustrated because it is limited in its power. Because it's not operating like Jesus Christ has called it to operate. Because why? It requires transformation. It doesn't require attendance only. Well, I'm going to attend. Attendance doesn't do it for you. Because you can attend and then not attend. And this is what happens with people. And, you know, I just call people out for what it is. They'll come in through the back and they'll be like, what's up? They'll be in the back. They're new, just hanging out. Don't really say much. Then when it's over, head down. No one talk to me, man. Because I don't want you to see what's really going on. And that's the danger. That's the danger. And what happens is that when there's a block there and then where people really can't see you, all of a sudden you put yourself in a hole. All of a sudden. Because you're hiding something that God already sees. And by running in and out of things and not being committed or connected, all it does is it further accentuates the fact that you were in need of transformation until you stop running. You're not going to change. You're not going to change. You can run all you want. You're not going to change. And the great thing about God is that he will allow you to run to a point. And then a change will happen. God will allow you to get to that breaking point because he loves you. Because it's exhausting to run your whole life and not change. It is exhausting to hide and not change. It's exhausting, man. If you would just say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm going to do what you call me to do. Break open what you got to break open because I want to be whole. Then you start getting somewhere. And stand up to whatever's coming against you and say, you're not going to rule me the rest of my life. This has probably been one of the most interesting fasts that I've been on. Interesting. Not only physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's just been interesting. Because there's more at stake in this one than in years past. Because you're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ trying to take the stage. And all the other imitators and the players going bye-bye. So anytime the church is trying to take the stage, there's always things going on behind the scenes in order to detract from that. Because the church is supposed to take the stage. Supposed to. What you see a lot going on right now is God getting the church ready to take the stage, because up to this point, he hasn't really liked the way the church looks. I want you to think about it this way. How many of you would put like someone who's not ready out into a situation that has repercussions, a lot of pressure on it, and they've never been in the spotlight before? And so you're not going to throw them in that position unless they're physically ready, emotionally ready, spiritually ready. You don't put a rookie pitcher in most instances out in game 7 and say, hey, you got the ball today? Just so you know, it's riding on you. 99% of the time, it doesn't end well. So what God is trying to do is take his rookie class and graduate him. So you start playing ball on the big leagues. You got to. There are bigger stages than I believe that God is prophesying. There are bigger stages that God wants to bring his people on, bigger stages of influence. And what he's doing right now is that he's stripping away things that are not very influential. And so if I'm calling you to influence, I need to take care of some things behind the scenes, because I can't put you out in front because you won't be able to handle the pressure. You can't handle the pressure of what I want to bring you in yet, because there are still some things that need to be taken care of on the inside. Because you're an influencer. Yeah, you. Despite what you've been told your whole life, you're an influencer. Not like the influencers that we have today that get paid to sell a product because they have a large following. But you're an influencer because of who you know. And if who you know is the most important person that you should know, don't you think there's going to be an attack and assignment against that very person? You just happen to be in the way. So if you're in the way, you're going to get hit. So if you can stand up against the hit, you'll graduate and God can begin to use you. But if you can't stand up against the hit, you'll remain seated. And from afar off, you'll applaud everyone else who's in the game. God is looking for players in the field, guys. Players in the field. You got to be willing to get on the field. Most of you have been. Even when there's sickness, even when there's death, even when there's disappointment, you got to still keep getting up, going back into the game, play on the field. Even when your best player is hurt, you got to get up, get back in the game, because there's something greater than just how you feel at stake. Half the church is gone today with COVID. So, you still got to get up, because it's an obedience thing. And I'm going to God's house and I'm going to give him praise just because he's still worthy of it. If no one else came, guess what? Because that's how it started. God of mercy, God of grace. You'd be singing God of mercy, God of grace. Doesn't matter who came, doesn't matter who didn't come. Guess what? He's still worth it. And if you could see it that way, guess what? You start to move. And God said, now I could use you, because it's not about who you see or who you don't see, because I'm the most important thing. Now I can bring you on center stage and tell the world who I am, because you're not worried about everybody else. If you can't do it in secret, God's not going to let you do it in public. And the great thing about God right now is he's flushing people out of secret. He's flushing it out. Because the world is supposed to be ready for us. You're supposed to rule subdue and conquer. That's what Genesis told you, right? But so many have been pushed toward the back because of issues, and they're intimidated. And God said, I got to start dealing with this stuff. And Maria could probably testify to this. People dealing with stuff 30 and 40 and 50 years in their life. That God is saying, if you would just allow me to break this stuff, that you'll be free and you'll do what I've called you to do, not worry about what everybody else is saying. You'll just be who I've called you to be. Isn't there at least a bit of curiosity that you feel as to why you were created? And Lord, what do you have for me? Are you going to get to the end of your life? You're 85 years old, knocking on death's door, and you look back and say, well, I guess I did it. Isn't the curiosity part of it intriguing? Why you made it through all you made it through and you're still here? Why you beat cancer and you're still here? Why you survived divorce and you're still here? Poverty, bankruptcy, and you're still here? Aren't you at least curious as to why you're still here and you're still moving? It's got to be because God has something for you. His grace has been sufficient. He's not done yet. Not done. There's a new level of power that's coming in his church. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing will. The question is, are you ready for it? Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Obedient. You're waging war. It's a spiritual war. It's not something you can do physically. You're going to have to understand how to pull down strongholds in the spirit if you want to beat this thing. If you're going to beat the things that have been swarming over your head and your emotions your whole life, you're going to have to learn how to pull down strongholds. And if you remember what a stronghold is, stronghold was that false argument that people have a tendency to hide in order to escape reality. The reality is that Jesus is who he says he is. The reality is there is none other than the name of Jesus, and there always will be no other than the name of Jesus. The reality is that he sits and rules and reigns. The reality is there will be none like him ever. The reality of it is that he is the one who came and died on the cross for you. The reality of it is there's no hiding. You can go on and on. What's the reality? The reality of it is he has never been a day that has gone by that he has not seen what you have done. There's not been a day that has gone by where he has not already seen what you have done. But still, he chooses to pursue you. The reality of it is that this pandemic has woken to the world to our need for him. You're waging war on a spiritual front. You can't muscle your way through it. You're going to have to use the tools that God has given you. You're going to have to understand the power of worship and how it breaks strongholds. All you have to do is start singing, and all of a sudden things just begin to break and lift over your life. It's a weapon that God's given you. I can't sing. You better start. Because when the enemy comes in, your first response is key. One of the things that's been happening to me during the fast, I get up just singing. There's a song in my head. It drops in. I'm just over and over. I get up ready for battle. Worship is a weapon. Use it. He doesn't like it. Use it. That's why you do it. Because when I worship, he's got to go. He doesn't like it because he thinks it should be him. That's why he's not there anymore. Don't you know that you have the power to turn him away from what's happening in your life? And I know we're in a situation right now where people are like, man, this is basic. No, this is like necessary stuff. Because these are the things that you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to use in this battle. You're not going to be able to, there's no other way. You can't manipulate your way through to victory. You know that. A lot of people, I want to manipulate my way. No, you can't do it. You're going to have to worship your way through it. You're going to have to get in the Word, understand what the Word says. You got to learn how to self-feed. If you can't self-feed, you're not going to make it. Because the church is not going to give you everything you need. You got to self-feed. The Word is powerful. It's sharp. It'll cut through stuff. If you want truth, get in the Word. It'll cut you. And I'm not talking about some of these people who are like, well, I just have a hard time reading the Word. It shouldn't be very difficult to read the Word. It's the way you're looking at the Word is a problem. You're trying to read it in volume. Read it in chunks so that it's effective. You got to pray. One of the things that we talked about today was understanding what prayer is and the power of your effectiveness this morning in Team Bradley. How's your prayer life? There are things that God wants to talk to you about, but are you listening? There are strategies that God wants to give you if you'll just be still long enough. God doesn't expect you to be still for long periods. Can I help you with that? Some people say, well, I just need to be like, I just got to hold on. I just got 30 minutes on the dot. I'm going to try. And you're like passing out because you're holding your breath and you're trying to, Lord, speak to me. And you're clenching your teeth. If I don't get it, I'm not going to make it. I mean, that's not what we need. Vibrate. Thanks. So understand God will speak to you because he knows your attention span and he knows when to speak to you. So just be intuitive. The fact of the matter is that he doesn't leave you or forsake you, that he wants to speak to you on a constant basis. It could be when you're working. God will just drop some things in. It could be when you're laying down, it'll just drop some things in. But just know, he's not limited to whether you're sleeping or not sleeping. So you got worship, you got the Word, and you got prayer. You got to learn to demolish down these strongholds. They got to come down. And why is it important? Because to the victor goes the spoils. You don't fight, you're not going to get the spoils that come from it. I just want to be given the spoils. No. You got to earn it. One of the things that you say about sports figures and that all the time you look at these people, man, they really paid for that. They earned that. They earned what they got because of what they got. They paid for it, sacrificed it. What about you? You want victory in your life. What are you earning? There are certain things that God has done for you. There are certain mantles and certain things you have up on your wall. I want you to think about it symbolically that are there that you've already beaten. Think about those things. I earned that one. You ever be in somebody's office and they start telling you about this stuff? Oh, yeah, let me tell you about this one. Because you're an influencer. God wants to do it for you. So that when you're in conversation with the people and you start hearing things and the conversation comes up, you say, hey, let me tell you about what God did here. Influence. But you got to beat it first. You got to beat it. I just don't have the strength left. You got to muster it up. This is not a fiery message today. This is just very like, in your mind right now, I want you to think of the one thing that is holding you right now, holding you. And you're saying, I just can't beat this thing. I cannot beat it. Every time I try to get up over it, it feels like it just pulls me back down. That's the thing God wants you to beat. It's big, I know, but God still wants you to beat it. Because oftentimes it's that one that opens the door to the spoils. Not just the baby one. There are certain things that you've already beaten. Stop trying to beat it again. You already beat it. It's like going back to a video game. I just want to see how good I can get. You've already beaten the board 7 times. Move on. Okay? Beat this one. Because this one, there are spoils on this one. Every time you beat a level spiritually, there are spoils behind that level that God said, you want this. But you got to get on the other side of it. That's the game. If I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, praise God, yes, I have. That's what the Bible says. I got to learn how to access those things. How do I access those things? Guess what's coming after me? there are some things I got to beat. But that's what makes life worth playing. Why would you want to sit and not have to do anything? That's called apathy, and God knows the danger of that. Why would you want to? Why are you here? If there is no need to fight or play in the game, why are you still here? You're here because there's still a game to be played. There's still victories to be won. There's still giants to slay. So you got to get ready for the next round. You got to get ready for it. And there should be an excitement and a blessing. There should be something inside of you that says, you know what? I'm looking forward to the next one. If I got through that one and I feel good, if my level of peace right now is where it's at, and my level of joy, I can't wait to the next one. If the power that I'm walking in right now is what I got from the last one, I'm curious in how much the next one's going to cost. Because not only so, but I've learned to rejoice in my suffering. Because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. If the depth that I have now is a result of what I gone through, I want some more. If that's what it took to get me out of the kiddie pool, swathe and walk in the deep, let's do that again. Because it's better out here than it is in there. I don't care what anybody tells you. Success always trumps failure. Oh, no, it doesn't, brother. Yeah, it does, okay? It does. So ask anybody, okay? It's better to be on the side of being successful than have to worry about how you're going to pay your bills and have to worry about, oh, my God, am I going to lose my mind? Or, it's better to be on the other side where you got soundness of mind and it doesn't shake you like it used to shake you and you got more power now and you can look at the face of the devil and say, get out of my face. It's better that you understand and know the authority you have now than wonder if you have it. It's better. I don't care what anybody says. The whole idea, I got to suffer for Jesus. Don't worry. You'll have your share. But don't go back into the place of where you used to be. That was deficient and dysfunctional. Not anymore. You're in a new level now. A new level. New level now. When I flex now, it happens. Things happen. Before, when I was younger, spiritually, nothing really happened. But now when I flex, things happen. So be careful what you throw at it. Because I'm not talking about physical flex. There's now a spiritual flex that's worked its way inside of me. And what used to spook me, don't spook me no more. Now, oh man, now it's become who I am. Because that's what transformation does. It becomes who I am now. So now when I run toward it, things are affected. Because the enemy sees he's been remade. He's built now. He's an overcomer now. Because of what Jesus has done. Oh, can't touch him like I used to touch him now. But you don't get there unless you fight. Yeah, you don't get there unless you fight. So you got to be okay with fighting and getting dirty in order to get there. Ben, come on up. Now I laugh at stuff that used to scare me. What you need to do is you need to rehearse what you've come through. Because that will give you a greater vantage point. Lower him, please. Thank you. That will give you a greater vantage point of how to look at where you're at right now. This morning I came in, and obviously things are happening. You know, COVID's happening, and, you know, a couple band members were out, and Leslie did a great job today, and she's doing a great job. Over the last year, she's come leaps and bounds, and she can tell you her story and how that looks like. But what happened was, is I'm looking there, and I'm thinking, okay, these are the songs we're singing, and I'm looking back there, and I'm like, it was the easiest practice we've gone through. And I looked at Craig and said, don't tell me that people can't do hard things and get over their stuff and lead. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that stuff. Don't tell me. Yeah. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me victory is not possible. Don't tell me that stuff. Because number one, it's a lie. The enemy says I can't do it. You can. Tell them to shut up and just do it anyway. I'm being really nice today. It's a fast. It's almost over. But understanding that if greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, guess what? That's the ability that I have. It doesn't matter what situation I'm plucked into, that he can give me the strength to do it. I might have to fight through some things, but to the victor go the spoils. You know there's a new level of freedom now that's in her life that has not been there. I'm not willing to jump. You're not going to get what's on the other side. Ask anybody who's ever won something. They're grateful for what they had to go through and how their coach pushed them in order to get there. Because being on top is better than being on the bottom. I'd rather be celebrating than going home early. We did our best. I'd rather be celebrating. I'd rather lay it on the line and do, hey, listen, I gave what I had. And be like, hey, they just beat us. Then be like, I could have, but I was scared to. And I fear that the state of the church, that's where we're at right now. We could be more victorious than we are. I'm not just talking about the local church, but the church. If that we were just play a little dirtier. Meaning get a little dirtier. You ever see some of those people, and it always makes me laugh, and where they won and they won the championship and there's no dirt on their uniform whatsoever. Nothing. They're like the most excited. Yeah, we did it. You didn't even play. You didn't even play nothing. But you got the ring. That's how it's going to be one day. Some people are just going to get in by the skin because of the faith of other people. But guess what? I'm going in dirty. I'm going in built. I'm going in wrecked. I'm going in with some laughter. I'm going in like that. I'm going in because I want to, man, he played. Yeah, I played. And I'll tell you what, it was fun. It was hard, but I played. Why? Because I realized that I had power to demolish strongholds, and I went to some camps. I took back some spoils. I broke some cycles generationally. I walked into promised lands. I slayed giants. I tore down things in my life that have been there. Man, I saw God do some great things. I'm going in. I'm going in because that's the excitement. Just to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your new body. That's the type of God. That's the type of life God's called us to live in. Not be on the sideline, tapping our feet and being like, I wish someone else would do it. Guess what? You do it. Something inside you's got to say, Lord, use me. I want to go. I'll take you up in that offer, son. There's going to be something you have to walk through, but let's go. There's got to be something. Why? Because there should be a fearlessness about you. If you're a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord, there should be a fearlessness. Should be. Where is it? if he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-discipline, it's tied up then in emotional dysfunction somewhere. It's tied up somewhere. Everybody stand on their feet if they could. Lord, this week, show them where it's tied up. Show them where they're tied up this week. What are they thinking about? What are they still in bed with? They can't fully grasp your love. They can't fully step out and be who you call them. They just can't do it. They're stuck somewhere. Show them this week as we round out this fast. Help them to have the courage to do the work. Allow you to do the work to get them out. Whatever that looks like. Every hand up in the air. Father, in Jesus' name today, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that it's a new day in you. Old things are gone, new things are here. We thank you, Lord, you called us to play on the field of life. Every person in here, Lord, who's stuck on the bench, get them off the bench. Help them not to fear the dirt. Help not to fear the hit. Help not to fear getting dirty. Well, Lord, they're going to be so wrapped up in who you are, and their confidence is going to be in you. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter who goes. It doesn't matter what the cost, but they will play dirty. Lord, but even when they look back over this year, as the year flips, they're going to say, man, it was good. I got some stains on me this year. Man, it was good. Some things broke off my life this year. Yes, it was good. I cried this year for the first time in a good way this year. Thank you, Lord, for new joy, the joy of the Lord becoming their strength in a new way. People will just laugh their way through stuff this year. Lord, break people out of stuff that's been holding them. Show them stuff. Show them. That they would look the enemy in the face and say, not today, not anymore. That as they step out of faith, you're going to break stuff off their life. And they will walk in power, love, and self-discipline. And that they will tell the enemy by the way they live that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that you will no longer take back what is mine. We thank you, God, for the victory in this house. We stand in it and we pray that you would get all the glory, all the honor, because you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.